Fiona Moutesse is an exceptionally accomplished chess player. The story of how she achieved that distinction reads like a fantasy, and it includes the sort of grim details present in lots of the darkest fairy tales. In The Queen of Katwe, subtitled A Story of Life, Chess, and One Extraordinary Girl's Dream of Becoming a Grandmaster, Tim Cruthers tells Fiona's story, and the author joins me now from Santa Barbara, California. Tim, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be on.
Early in The Queen of Katwe, which is a slum in Uganda, you introduce us to a man named Robert Katende and his importance to the development of Fiona Moutesse and her fellow chess players can hardly be overstated. Tell us a little bit about Katwe and the program Robert Katende set up there.
Without Robert Katende, there would be no Queen of Katwe. I mean, it's as simple as that. He, too, was a product of the Ugandan slums, was a refugee, actually, in the one of the many civil wars in Uganda, just as a wee child, and somehow survived that, found his way to the slums of Kampala, the capital city, and was able to somehow survive through 20 years to become connected to this American ministry organization called Sports Outreach. He began working for that organization. That began what he calls a sports ministry. And so what he did one day is he tried to figure out a way to engage the kids who didn't want to play soccer. And the idea he came up with was chess, which was odd because there is no word for chess in their native language, which is Luganda. So none of these kids had ever heard of chess. He obviously had an uphill climb just to teach them how to play that very complicated game. And it took months and months and months.
At what point did Robert Katende begin to see that Fiona wasn't merely one more child who enjoyed playing chess?
It took a little bit of time because Fiona, when she started, was just 9 years old. It was difficult for her to learn the game initially because the boys, and this is a very male-dominated society in Uganda, and the boys, they did not really have any great interest in teaching a new girl how to play the game. One day, she played against a boy, and she was able to win that game. And she gained a great deal of confidence from that game. And that's when Robert Katende started to take her to some of the local, what he calls interproject tournaments. They were tournaments amongst the four different slums where Katende runs this project. And the first time she ever played in an interproject tournament, she was the girls' champion. And so even though she doesn't have the benefits that most great chess players have, which are chess books, chess videos, the opportunity to go on the internet and play other chess players from all over the world, she somehow, just through games against the other kids in the project, some of whom are also very talented, began to really develop herself in the game.
In 2009, Fiona earned the opportunity to travel to Sudan for a chess tournament. Tell us about some of the things she saw there for the first time.
Basically, she saw almost everything for the first time. This is a girl who had never, ever left the Katwe slum. And all of a sudden, she was on a plane for the first time. I mean, that obviously was the biggest. But then she arrives in Sudan and she sees a television for the first time, a remote control for the first time, a toilet that flushes for the first time. She goes to the hotel restaurant and they hand her a menu. And she looks at it and she says, "What is this?" And the chaperone who had gone with the three kids on this trip said, "That's a menu. You get a chance to choose what you'd like to eat." And for the first time in Fiona Moutesse's life, she had a chance to choose what she could eat for a meal. That kind of in itself explains the sheltered life that she lived up to that point.
I'd like you to read from the chapter titled Heaven, in which you describe Fiona's return from that tournament in Sudan.
Okay. It begins with a Fiona quote. "It felt like I was going back to a kind of prison," Fiona says. As Fiona, Benjamin, and Ivan were driven back into Katwe for a victory celebration, the psychological shift began to take hold. They became apprehensive about what they were going to find when they arrived there. Windows in their van were reflexively shut and backpacks pushed out of sight. Ivan, who was holding the trophy in his lap, suddenly slid it under the seat in front of him. The faces that had been so joyful at the airport turned solemn, the mask of the slum. The three children discussed who would keep the trophy and decided none of them could because it would surely be stolen. So they asked Katende if he could lock it in the storage shed.
Fiona and the other chess players who ventured out of Katwe are asking themselves at this point if they've done a good thing. And as you write, they had sampled from the Tree of Knowledge and their appetites had changed forever. What were some of the other specific consequences of Fiona's trips, not only to Sudan, but eventually to Russia?
In Russia, what she saw was a fairly cosmopolitan society. Even though she was in Siberia, she was in an oil town. The city was very well developed, and every little thing was just fascinating to her. She didn't know how big the world was, how many people were out there, but the one thing she did assume was that everybody struggled to find one meal a day and survive from one day to the next. And now all of a sudden she realized that there was a whole world out there, and many people lived lives that were a lot more comfortable than hers.
The final chapter of your book, Tim, is titled Dreams, and it begins with a picture, and the caption under that picture concerns Fiona's dreams of becoming a grandmaster. Is that likely?
If you just broke it down to the circumstances, you just took it as a mathematical equation, is it likely? Absolutely not. And that's why this is such an amazing story, because you have to factor in who this person is. And there is nobody else that I met in Uganda who was even close to Fiona in terms of her personality, in terms of her drive. Yes, there are a million hurdles for her to becoming a grandmaster, but she's already cleared so many hurdles that it makes you wonder whether that is a possibility. She just played in the 2012 Chess Olympiad, which is the most prestigious chess tournament in the world in Istanbul, Turkey. She played there in September. And at that tournament, she earned herself a title. She is now a woman candidate master. That is a title on your way to becoming a grandmaster. And she is the first woman in Ugandan history to gain a title. Is it likely for her to become a grandmaster? No. Is it a possibility because of the drive and courage of this amazing woman? Yeah.
If Fiona Matesse does continue to thrive as a chess player, does continue to progress, what would it mean for her family in particular and for the community of Katwe in general?
By becoming a woman candidate master, she now has her foot on the ladder of this structure toward becoming a grandmaster. If she is able to gain a couple of more rungs on that ladder, she becomes a player who earns sponsorship, which allows her to play in chess tournaments where she's paid a fee to go and play in these tournaments. And so she can actually begin to subsist as a chess player. But that is her goal, to be able to get to a point where she can help take her mother, her sister, her two brothers out of Katwe and take them to a safer place to live. This is her one special gift. It gives her the opportunity to possibly rescue her family from the situation that is so dire at this point.
Tim Cruthers is the author of The Queen of Katwe, A Story of Life, Chess, and One Extraordinary Girl's Dream of Becoming a Grandmaster. The publisher is Scribner, and the author joined me from Santa Barbara. Tim, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Parati. Our intern is Dana Haddock, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view a photo gallery featuring the exceptionally fit and smart Lawrence, Massachusetts fifth graders, please visit onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from the ever-energized New England Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, who after the 13th matchup between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady broke out his football thesaurus to describe the future Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Two great players, obviously. Two great, great players. They're both great.
Well, that's great. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.